This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
Triple Bypass acknowledges that we broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging, and to any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people who are listening today. We acknowledge that this land was never ceded, no treaty was ever signed, and that it always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
I am sharper than a razor. Eyes made a laser.
Ah, such a soothing introduction. That was Given What They Love, Janelle Monáe featuring Prince. You're listening to Triple Bypass, here to put the B in LGBTIQA+. I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
The bisexuals have taken over the airwaves. A huge thanks to our new neighbours, Miranda and Trance with Geeks Out. And that last song you might have heard from there, if you tuned in, was a song from the Predator the musical.
Nice.
Featuring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnie.
You never know what you're going to hear on the radio. We're joined by Rebecca Loveday and Matthew Lovett, who we'll be chatting with later on in the show about their work as access coordinators at Expression Employment, which is in a division of Expression Australia and is supporting LGBTIQA plus job seekers experiencing barriers, basically, to help them overcome that. I think with some job coaching, but with less aggressive whistling and throwing of water bottles.
Right. So many LGBTI specialist programs coming up in all different places and sectors. So it'll be really interesting to have that discussion with them.
It is, because they've all come up because apparently there's some problems that we're now understanding a bit better, and I think that's excellent progress. But in what's been happening, if you want to get in touch with us, of course, you can message in the show on 0427 569 949, or email us at onair@joy.org.au. You can also find us on socials. That's Facebook at Triple Bypass on Joy. Instagram is Triple Bypass Joy, and Twitter is Triple Bypass. We made all three different just so you wouldn't have to pick one, because they're not the same.
That's right. And we know you bisexuals don't like to choose.
No one does. And also, I'm very excited because I only use Spotify to listen to podcasts, and now we're on Spotify, so I can listen to myself.
Yes, we are on Spotify.
It's very great. We're also on iTunes and on Android podcast apps. So that's if you enjoy our show, we have some podcast exclusive content as well.
Yes, and we're going to have some new people coming onto the Triple Bypass team. So we are team this year.
We're growing in size. Yes. I'm gathering my army, Anthony.
Yes, we've got a lot of enthusiasm.
Soon we shall fly.
We are. Ruby's army will be coming in.
Take to the bye skies.
Yeah, so tune in over the next few weeks to hear some new voices on our show who are coming in some fresh
we've
ideas.
We've heard some people to hear Andrew.
Yes. Andrew's definitely here.
Yeah. Now, but what has been happening around in some bisexual news, and this is internationally, I suppose, pop stars, I always forget, have one country of origin, and they just become the collective property of the world, which is on theme because one of the topics is Ariana Grande. I pronounced this wrong. We were chatting with Rebecca and Matt before, and Matt called me out, which thank you, because I'm just not good at pop music. I know Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yeah, I think pop music is kind of the one thing I am good at. So
excellent, one thing, and also finding people work, which is good.
Oh well, there's that too. That's kind of an important thing to be
says
good
on
at.
Your T-shirt. And so, what the particular issue is that so in a line in her new song Monopoly, people are questioning if Ariana Grande has come out as bisexual, where she does refer to dating both men and women. And what has been interesting is that it's caused a lot of discussion, but a lot of the discussion has been basically everything but what it's like for her. It's very much focusing on why no one cares. Mm. A lot of people feel the need to constantly say how much they don't care about this. But also that, you know, is she doing it for the pink dollar? Is she faking it? Is it because it's trendy? And I suppose because, you know, it's about multigender attraction, I do start to notice these patterns, particularly around the no one cares mentality. And I suppose whenever I'm met with a bunch of people yelling at me, I don't care, I don't trust that that's true.
And also the fact that she's come out as bisexual, or if it's implied.
Well, she's implied, yeah.
Yeah, that if it's not given legitimacy, if that sexual orientation isn't given legitimacy in the broader community, then she's going to be seen with some suspicion, or what's she up to.
I wonder what that's seen with suspicion. People from the community don't embrace it.
Yes.
It's almost like there's some patterns, Anthony.
Right.
Am I imagining this? I don't think so.
If she was going to pretend to be asexual orientation, she'd probably come up with the least problematic one.
And also, either it was just a line in a song. Like, a part of me is just like, you know, that means people will be able to hear that song and feel represented. Like, why does no one care about that? Mm. You know, in the United States, 27 countries, 27 states can still fire you for being LGBT, and because they have a separate communities with the intersex communities there. And so why are people not talking about that? This could have a big impact on her career. Mm. Like, why are we talking about the fact that, you know, there are very many countries where talking about that stuff itself is a crime. So who cares? A lot of people care.
Yes.
It's, I don't know, it strikes me as that kind of combination of almost like, not complacency, but that kind of diminishing achievement because it doesn't come in the form that they kind of want to be able to celebrate, maybe, because she's this pop idol who's like, you know, with a bunch of guys, and so she's not really what a lot of the community would see as like a representation, but she's not their representation, so they don't care, and they assume that means that no one cares.
Right.
I don't know, maybe I'm just...
No, totally. I think it's straight people who are making those comments. I don't think queer people would be saying this. Maybe monosexuals, who knows?
You might be surprised.
Yeah, right. I was going
to
say.
You might be surprised. It might be depending on who you speak to.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's actually a lot of our community feels like they don't care, and I think that's often that...
Monos.
What's a mono?
Monosexual.
Non-bisexual.
A single gender attracted person.
Oh.
Yeah. So
that's fun.
Yeah.
I learned something new.
I think it's just interesting because a lot of the what we've kind of talked about a lot is that one of the barriers to coming out of employment, which we're talking about later, is like feeling that your identity is important in yourself. And I guess like seeing this kind of response that who cares, like thrown at a bisexual woman or like a woman who has put a song that mentions she's at least talked about attraction to women. I know my own experiences coming out and a lot of people I've met has often been that sense of, oh, who cares, or no one really cares. Mm. And people think that's a positive, but a neutral is actually not a positive statement, it's neutral. And so when everything else is negative and the best you get is neutral, it just doesn't actually cancel out the negative.
Mm.
And so it does, I suppose, this is just seeing like another layer of you don't realise why you don't care so hard because you're not caring really hard right now, like actively focusing on not caring. And it'd be great if we could start to address why this is such a snap response.
Yeah.
But on other happier news, Sydney Bi Plus Network recently became incorporated.
Yes, very exciting to Amber and all the team in Sydney. Congratulations. Mm. And what Sydney Bi Network have achieved in the last 12 months has been incredible.
Yeah.
And they got to celebrate at Mardi Gras this year. They were on a float with
us. They were with us. And that was with Bree from the hashtag BeSeen campaign, who's also currently working with Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras on a potential name change.
Yes.
So that's something you can also read up about. So if you would like to know more about that, you can find some information on the Sydney Bi Plus Network Facebook page. If you want to kind of just let the committees know how you're feeling or join the Mardi Gras committee so you can vote on it, because they're voting on whether there will be a name change and then they'll vote on the name, which I think is good because... It can also be bad. I don't know.
Yeah, it's great by activism, really. I mean, Bree has really put us on a sort of on a serious platform. I mean, we were on television.
A serious moving platform covered in sparkling lights while you were dressed
like we were wearing platforms
Freddie Mercury
on a platform.
In I Want to Beg Fee.
Yeah.
The best buy way to break out. We'll be right back after these short messages to have more of a chat with Rebecca and Matthew about their jobs as access coordinators at What Expression Employment is about and how they're supporting LGBTIQA plus job seekers in overcoming some barriers to finding employment and staying in employment and what that's been about and where it's come from. But coming up, we're going to be listening to Shea Diamond's I Am Her. Was that your choice?
That was me, yes.
Yes, well, you can tell us all about it right after.
I will.
Yay! Stay tuned. This is Triple Bypass and you're on Joy 94.9.
If you had to wear my shoes, you'd probably take them off too. There's an outcast in everybody's life, and I am her. There's a shadow in everybody's window, and I am her. There's a dark cloud in everybody's sunlight. And problems that I go through. Sometimes I can't sleep at night. If I hide my face, heaven would be, and it wouldn't be the worst thing that I ever did. It's a hell of a world that we're living in. James 2:10, a sin is a sin. Don't look at me immediately and whisper behind my back thinking
than I could believe. There's an outcast in everybody's life, and I am her. There's a dark cloud in everybody's alive, and I am her. There's a shadow in everybody's front door, and I am her. Oh, no, I am her. Your ignorance leaves a hell of a stench. The aroma lingers on generations I've known. And it ironic, the smarter we get, the less we understand about the simplest shit. I am Shane, she is me. We get down with our bad selves figuratively. Don't care too much what other people say. I get along swell by my goddamn self. Never ask for no one's philosophy.
Hi, I'm Mara Wilson, former child actor, current writer, aspiring bicon, and you are listening to the show that puts the B in LGBTIQ. Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
That's right. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. And that was Shea Diamond with I Am Her. And I'm Ruby.
I'm Anthony. Great song.
And that great song was picked by one of our two guests this evening, Rebecca Loveday. Excellent. How did you discover Shea? And where did you find the banger?
Well, she is amazing, and without you know, bragging about my own show that I run here on Joy, but...
Oh, what would that show be? When would it be on?
You know, some people might have heard of it. It's called The Gender Agenda.
I've heard of The Gender Agenda as a broad term.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, so we...
You're our sister show, because you're on at the same time on Wednesdays.
Yes, that's right. We are. And we love to play, like, all trans and non-binary artists, and Shea Diamond's, like, one of our, like, all-time go-tos.
Mm.
But... Shea Diamond as herself, she's actually quite incredible. So she wrote that song whilst in a men's prison, and she used to sing it to all the other prisoners, and then she just had this incredible voice. And then once she kind of got out, she got discovered, and she actually said something which I felt really, really worth sharing. And she said she began writing I Am Her as a statement to say the world in a world where she shouldn't exist. She wrote it as an anthem for all of those that felt shunned for simply being who they were. It was in losing the world that I found myself, and I just think that's beautiful.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty cool.
Really awesome.
And she's got some other really good tracks as well. You should look her up.
Yeah, so you can check out Shea Diamond. If you want to get in touch with us during the show and ask a question for Rebecca or Matthew Lovett, who's also here. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how are you
doing? Thanks. You can text in on 0427-JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. So Rebecca and Matthew both work with a service that basically is helping people with disabilities and people who face different barriers to finding employment in supporting and coaching people through those experiences. And particularly with Rebecca and Matthew, you both work with LGBTIQA+, the community there, and trying to help people overcome barriers that they're experiencing with their Working Out program. You're wearing the t-shirts now. They're awesome.
We are. We're
working out.
We want to get a photo with you guys,
yes.
If that's okay.
Oh, that's definitely going to happen.
Paparazzi.
And I think it's also great because, you know, a lot of queers like to work out. Not me. Not me personally, but I do know that gyms are popular with some of us.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard. Is this true? Mm. I've only heard the rumours and watched it on Will and Grace.
We can be found in gyms.
So, can I ask, so this particular program, as Anthony was mentioning before as well, there's been a few programs here in Victoria that have started up around helping LGBTIQA plus people handle particular and quite unique challenges that can come with finding jobs, whether it's learning how to, if you've transitioned gender and you're learning how to dress for your new role in that sense, or learning how to talk to your employees about that sort of thing in bathrooms, or about coming out sexuality and about that kind of discussions within a company. So what particular barriers, though, when it comes to looking for a job, are people running into? Or should we go back even further and say, how did working out start?
I'll take that one.
Yay.
So it started a few years ago now, when someone who was working with our organisation, at that time supporting people who were deaf and hard of hearing, because that's the other part of what we do, they realised that there was a lack of a service for people who were HIV positive, and a lack of understanding around that, because it is delivered under Disability Employment Services, so it is for people who have barriers towards employment, which is inclusive of disability, mental illness, poor mental health, as well as chronic illness. And so the program started supporting, predominantly gay men, in just an awareness and a culturally sensitive service in that way. And now we work with everyone across the LGBTQIA plus community, with all different kinds of barriers. In terms of what you asked about the kind of barriers that people face, it's really quite individualized. And I think there's a cool intersection between disability and being LGBTI.
It's called me.
it is you.
It's a big intersection, like in general, because of course people can be more than, they can be both queer and disabled.
And it's massive. And I think for us as well, when we kind of explain our program to people, we have to kind of really make it clear that we're not saying that LGBTIQA plus people all have disabilities. Yeah, so we have to make it very clear it's LGBTIQA plus people that have barriers to employment, which may be A, B, and C. We're not saying that all queer people have a disability, basically.
Yeah.
And so what sort of workplaces are you working with? Do you work with employers of workplaces or clients who are trying to get jobs in these spaces?
Both.
Yeah.
The simple answer is both.
So the people who come on program with us are job seekers, and they're the ones that we work with mostly, and we'll meet face-to-face and support them directly. But we also look to engage employers who are wanting to be more inclusive. We do get approached by employers who are wanting to hire someone, or they've had someone come out in the workplace and they're not really sure how to make that as smooth as possible for them.
So employers have contacted you for that?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
They do, yeah. So with our particular program, it's the only of its kind that caters to the LGBTIQA plus community in the employment sector. And I guess it's good to take note that a lot of people that are in the queer community are unemployed as well. And being the only specific program, it means that all these people within the queer community are getting sent to mainstream services that don't understand their needs, that don't understand their requirements, and don't look at things holistically and go, okay, so maybe we should take this into consideration that you are at risk of homelessness, or you do have a breakdown with, you know, family relationships because, you know, they don't accept you for who you are, or whatever the reasons might be. They don't look at those things in kind of mainstream services, and I think that's kind of where we become a little bit different and we take on things holistically. And I think a good thing to note is that a lot of us that work there also have the lived experience of identifying within the community as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's you know, the old saying, kind of nothing about us without us kind of thing.
I'm very familiar.
And have LGBTI services, do you work with them also to work with people who are queer and have a disability?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, so we do establish relationships with other LGBTIQA plus organisations. I guess a good example of that would be Thorn Harbour Health. So we refer, you know, they have really, really great services for people to manage their mental health. And so they might have people that they're currently managing that are currently looking for work, or we have people that we're supporting to get into work that need support with mental health. So we refer, you know, both ways, and that's just one example of quite a few that we actually have.
So yeah, which is, I think that sounds really useful insofar as addressing that, you know, there are challenges in employment, but they can come from different places, and if those aren't being addressed as well, then you tend to get you can't always make as much progress as you could otherwise.
I guess we have to realize that, you know, with employment, you can walk into an employment service and say, yes, I want to get a job, but you kind of have to address some other things before you're ready to go into work sometimes, because work can be overwhelming, and, you know, there's demands of been in a job, no matter how big or small they might be. And sometimes having stable housing, having stable mental health, having all these things kind of lined up before you're actually ready to do that, we make sure that's kind of all in place before we're saying, okay, now let's start applying for jobs.
Mm. So much to take care of outside of the workplace and inside of the workplace. What about things like dealing with team dynamics and personalities?
That's an excellent question, and we're going to go right into all of that after these community messages and another song. I think that works, going from outside to inside. Coming up, we've got your song, Matt, Todrick Hall's Nobody featuring Cynthia Eviro. So stay tuned. You're listening to Triple Bypass, where the multigender attractive folk are here and extremely queer. Don't change that dial. You're on Joy.
You got those mystic eyes. You are my kryptonite. Let me fall for you.
Let me fall for you.
You got that magic touch. Know how to make me blush. Give my all to you.
But what's a girl like me supposed to do when someone like you walks into the room and you sweep me off my feet like a broom? And I can't deny a dime if I had a dime for every kiss you sent through the air.
That warm embrace, running for love from the second base. But I'm safe, I know.
Yeah, I'm safe from love.
You are one of a kind. I wanna call you mine. Will you say hello?
Hello, would you say hello? What's a girl like me supposed to do when someone like you walks into the room and you sweep me off my feet like a broom? And I can't deny it, die if I had a dime for every kiss you sent through the air.
I'm off to a flame, I was drawn to you. When you asked for my name, I was on to you. They could call me cute chick, I'm a swan to you. And you was thinking I could be a little ingenue. Guess you knew this princess was a queen. I could never lose, I got you on my team. Batter up, they say yes, I'm a swing. Just as long as you got the ring. Cause I don't want nobody.
This is Matt from The Bylife, and you're listening to The Bypass on Joy.
That's right. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9, and that was Todrick Hall with Nobody featuring Cynthia Eviro. My name's Ruby.
And I'm Anthony.
And you're listening to the show that's here to basically let the bisexual, pansexual, polysexual, omnisexual, queer and general multigender attracted community and everyone who loves us here for our weekly catch-up. We've been talking with Rebecca and Matthew, who are Access Coordinators at Expression Employment, a division of Expression Australia, which helps people with disabilities find work. And their particular area is supporting LGBTIQA plus job seekers, both with and without disabilities, who are experiencing barriers to employment through their Working Out program. We've been talking before that a bit about the barriers people can face outside of the workplace, so needing to find secure shelter, experiencing mental health issues or family breakdown. I suppose, and just before we went to the break, Anthony asked a question and I cut him off, but it was about...
It was actually about team dynamics and working as, you know, in teams, you know...
Yeah, exactly, and
productively
being cohesive.
And cohesive, yeah. So I'm just...
So using us as a wonderful example.
So is that sort of the level of support you would offer in the workplace?
As in working with the job seekers?
Like if your client says, I'm struggling in the workplace, I feel like I'm being not so much explicitly bullied, but maybe I'm finding it difficult to work in my role with this person or that person or my team leader.
Well, yeah, or that my company's not openly hostile, but it's just quite exhausting to kind of be a single the only person in this kind of sea and to not have that part of me really seen, and that's affecting my work. Does that happen as well as the people who are experiencing issues with finding work?
It's interesting because most of the people that we support are going to be dealing with more than one thing. They're going to be dealing with things that might be relating to their gender or sexuality, and they're also going to be dealing with the other barriers that could be around mental health or chronic illness or physical disability, whatever it might be. So I guess it's dependent on what the issue is as to what we would be managing. A lot of people in the Working Out program that we run don't necessarily want to be out at work in relating to their sexuality, but sometimes or their gender identity, whatever it might be. But sometimes a lot of the core issues that they're having to deal with at work do relate to those things, regardless of whether they want them to or not.
Yeah.
So it's really quite complex when it comes to supporting those needs. But it's very circumstantial on the individual, I think.
Yeah, we like to provide tailored support to each individual and really have a discussion with them. So when someone I'm working with comes to me with a problem, I sort of discuss with them, okay, well, how is it making you feel? And here are the options of how we can deal with it. So either we can just chat about it, if that's all you want to, is that as far as you want to take it? I can offer you advice on how you can open up communication in the workplace. You can disclose that you're linked in with us. I can contact them. We can organize to have someone come in and deliver training on gender awareness or sexuality awareness, disability awareness.
How would you do that? How would you engage a workplace and encourage them to do some sort of LGBTI inclusive training or gender inclusive training?
Well, Matt and I are the ones that normally run that training, so we just force them to do it. No,
just turn up.
You're going to do this. And you're going to like it.
That suits the boots you're wearing, that attitude.
Oh, thanks, yeah.
Okay. We had some messages in. It's amazing to hear that employers are contacting your service to support LGBTI people with disabilities in the workplace. Thank you for this great work. And that's from MC. Thanks. We also had Ari message saying that they found it wonderful and important work you're both doing for the LGBTI community and how they could help support it. So that's a question, I suppose. So people
Thanks,
want
Ari.
To
you got some money you want to donate, Ari?
Well, I don't think that's probably what Rebecca and Matt were looking
for. I mean, look, money's always great. I can give you my personal PayPal. But really just talking about it is the big thing. Sharing us as an existing service with anyone you know who may be looking for work, but also anyone you know who may be looking for staff. If you see help wanted signs or job ads up in places that you may have connections with, letting them know about our service and that they can approach us and say, I've got a position available. Because we've got currently about up to 400 people on program
that
we support. That is across both the sensory loss, so deaf and blind, as well as the LGBT program. But we've got plenty of people who are looking for work.
Yeah. And I think it's important to note as well that for people that are listening that do identify with the LGBTIQA plus community, if you do have a barrier to employment, that we are a free service, so there's no cost involved for people to access our service. People don't have to be receiving any kind of benefit from the government to access our service, so people can come on as voluntary participants just to receive the support that they might require relating to their barriers and also their identity.
And how would they contact you if they wanted to do
the training program?
Well, they can just jump onto our website. So they can go to employment.expression.com.au and then just go through the inquiry forms through there.
Yep. Excellent. We'll make sure to put links to that both on our Facebook and on our blog. Sorry, Matt, what were you saying?
Sorry, I'm new to the radio thing. I need to visually signal before I start talking.
Yeah, me too.
My bad.
Yes, so new.
I was going to say, additionally, if you are linked in with the job service and you are in receipt of New Start Allowance, if you're on disability support pension or if you're on youth allowance and you're required to attend appointments, you can link in with our service as well.
Fantastic. And so if you have any other questions you'd like to ask Rebecca and Matthew about the programs or any experiences that you've had as an LGBTIQA plus person experiencing barriers to employment, you can message us on 0427JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au.
Now, I'm seeing more and more how important these roles are for our community. And you know, we don't represent every letter in the acronym, right? We might be one or two of those letters. And you might be working with a client who is one of those other letters, right?
Yeah.
But there is something about belonging to the LGBTI community and being in this role that matters to people, right, who are LGBTI.
Mm.
Do you find that there's this sort of trust or there's this sense of not having to go into detail as you would for a mainstream service to describe your life context without worrying about how it's going to be received?
Or not people not doubting your actual challenges in the workplace, I think often, you know, or recognising that you've at least experienced something similar?
I think initially, well, for me, identifying as a trans woman, when I first started working with Expression Employment, I was kind of the go-to person for trans-related things, but obviously I don't know everything about every single trans-related thing. So I think the important thing was that we did cross-training, so everyone was kind of had a good understanding of what other barriers might be for other people, and know that just because I am a trans woman doesn't necessarily mean that I'm the best person to support another trans person if the work they're looking for is completely something that I don't have experience in.
Yeah.
So say, for example, Matt has some really good experience in doing things like retail, and I don't have so much experience in that area, then he would work with that person as opposed to me just because that person and I are both trans, for example. Oh. So it's just making sure that people in the employment consultants that work with us have that cross-training and understanding. And because we are also different and because we are quite diverse in our workplace, it's only like walking across the room to go and ask someone some advice on the way to best manage someone else's situation. Mm.
So there's a lot of open communication within your own team around, oh, this person's had these experiences. I'm not necessarily sure the best way forward.
Yeah.
Us on the team.
Yeah.
And that's really, I think there's a...
It's called teamwork.
Yeah, and it takes away the pressure of feeling like you have to know the answers to everything or to be stand for all things as well.
That's right.
And so how long, you mentioned this program's been going for a while, but you didn't, could you mention when it actually started or recently? Maybe when y'all have started there or when it's expanded recently. I know there's been...
It's been around for about 6 years altogether. It initially started with a small group of consultants that were working there that identified as gay men, as Matt said previously.
So it was about 6 years.
About 6 years ago, yeah.
And recently I know I've been seeing there's been working out places at you know, the festivals that we have and different Pride foundations at universities. Is that a new kind of expansion or is it more just a good rebranding?
I think, well, we actually rebranded last year. So that was when we became Expression Australia. And then we're in the employment department, which is Expression Employment. And then Working Out is the queer program that we run. So it's all quite complex, really. But if you saw our branding previously, it was even more complex before.
Yeah.
So, but I think because the need for the service has grown, therefore the staff have grown, and the community engagement has also grown as well. So making sure that we have a presence at events, whether it might be at universities or queer focus events, things like, you know, Midsummer and those sorts of things, we try to make sure that we're at those events so people can actually come and approach us, because people don't always want to call up and inquire about something. It can be much more comfortable for them just to approach us when we're in bright blue t-shirts with the print on the front
that says Working Out, and they're like, is it a gym?
Sure.
We do get that a lot. A lot of people do tend to ask us if we're some kind of exercise program, so then there's a bit more explanation.
Yeah, if they saw me on a treadmill, they wouldn't think that.
I suppose I find it really interesting as well, because it's clear that you all work with individual people throughout like a long part of their journey. And so often do you find, is there like an average amount of time that you're staying with somebody from, like, or what time in their
employment journey, they tend to step in. So the people who want from, I'm sure you have people from the very beginning who need help with building resumes and knowing where to look and stuff. But
when do they stop needing you?
Or like, yeah, and is there like a, or do they, do you think some people who just need to stay around for a bit longer?
It's generally around a year from when people start working is when we'll remain in contact with them, and that can be quite minimal contact towards the end. So it's not going to be that we're showing up at their work every day and wiping their face before they go in. Like,
that's adorable. Like, oh no, honey, no, here, let me get that for you.
Braiding your socks up,
braiding their hair,
tucking their shirts,
like spitting on your hanky.
bring a packed lunch.
I want that worker.
Yeah, so we'll work. We can work with people. People can remain on program for up to 2 years while they're looking for work, which is just a part of the guidelines set by the department. But once they start working, then they can remain on program. Well, normally they'll remain on program for at least 12 months, but as long as support is needed. And that includes if they're changing roles, if they're changing workplaces, if they're changing managers. And so I've got people who I work with who I'll check in with about once a month, and then other people who I do check in with quite regularly, just depending on the support they need in their roles.
Fantastic. I think the very individual-based focus of it sounds like it can be really important.
Yeah.
Because as you know, we've both already mentioned, within our community there's so much variance anyway, so one size fits all would be a bit of a disaster.
And it doesn't, it really doesn't work that way, and people do stay on for quite a long period of time because it's not that easy, and we know that in life, that you're not just going to get a job and everything's going to be sweet. Like, that's not the way the world works. It's making sure they've been there for a long enough time that they feel comfortable, they feel supported, they feel that they can, you know, support themselves to, you know, without us being there for them necessarily in the background, but they do have us there if we need to, and they can always come back to us if they need to.
Yep.
So yeah, it's just making sure people feel comfortable and they feel confident and they're happy in the workplace and they don't necessarily feel the need. So when we do exit people, it's great.
Fantastic. We're going to be talking more about, I think, finishing up this program. I think I'm going to try and be fishing out some of their trade secrets. So I'm going to be asking about what some of the barriers are and how we can overcome them.
Sure. We're ready.
Yes, excellent. So that'll be coming up after Miller Jam, like the last time. So stay tuned. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
Loving you, loving me, loving your skin pressed up against me. Feels like there's nowhere I'd rather be. You don't chase me, I don't chase you, just chase the feeling. I can face it, you can face it, I always see it. You know, hold me, kiss me, till the first.
Distance, you're never far. Need your touch, touching all of the places we never go.
Don't chase me, don't chase you, just chase the feeling. I can face it, you can face it, always see it.
You hold me, kiss me, till the first love.
Cause
Joy 94.9, and you're listening to Triple Bypass, bringing you the latest updates on the Bi Plus agenda. My name's Ruby.
And I'm Anthony.
And that was Miller Jam with Like the Last Time, a song chosen by one of our guests, the incredible Rebecca Loveday from Joy's very own Gender Agenda on Wednesdays at 9 p.m.
Oh, thanks, Ruby. Thanks for the shout-out.
We're our neighbours. And also, I'd like to welcome back Matthew, who is not also on Joy except for tonight, but is doing such a great job.
I'm trying so hard.
I know, it's wonderful. I say that because I try hard all the time.
I just do it for the attention.
I've never heard that before. No one ever says that to bisexuals. we've been talking over the last 45 minutes, really, over the course of the show, about the work that you both do as access coordinators at Expression Employment, and which is a program that supports LGBTIQA plus job seekers who are experiencing barriers to employment. And that's through your Working Out program. It's in capitals. I think that's the best way.
Not for fitness.
Not for fitness. No. You will not find a gym membership here, which is how I like it. And so we've been talking a bit about the barriers that can face our communities that can prevent us finding work, also how we can access these things going forward. And one of the comments that was made just in the last segment was around how there's been an increase in need. And I was curious, do you think that's an increase in need or an increase in awareness and more people being aware of that part of themselves being a barrier? And if it is an increase, are there just a lot more queers now? Because please tell me that's what's happening.
I think it's just an increase in awareness, both from the broader community that these things can be a barrier, and an increase in understanding that you can publicly support those barriers. And it doesn't have to be invisible. It doesn't have to be something that everyone suffers in silence over. So it's kind of bouncing between the service providers and the community in the more things that pop up and the more demand that the service providers see, the more the community will, you know, as they're using it, then other places will realise that there's opportunity there to, or actually a need for support.
Yeah.
Because in application forms, when people are applying for jobs, there's sometimes, correct me if I'm wrong, but there sometimes is a question around, do you have a disability or something that will present some challenges for you to perform your role? Right? There's a question, right?
It actually normally says, do you have a disability or condition that will affect you being able to do your job, or along those lines?
Right.
And so for a lot of people, they're like, nah. So I'm ticking right. No.
Yeah.
I can still do my job. It's fine. Yes, I have mental health issues, but I can still do my job. So no.
I see. Yeah, totally.
Do you know what I mean?
The question.
I would assume that employees would be like, that's going to be too much hassle.
Well, that's a different question from, do you have any mental health conditions? Maybe. Yes, I could.
But
guess,
isn't but anything totally. That causes problems? Like, I don't always disclose, and, you know, I do now, but, you know, for a while I wouldn't disclose I'm on the autism spectrum, mm-hmm. because I was just like, that's going to create, they're going to instantly have an idea of who I am before I've walked
exactly.
through that door. And so when I say there might be issues with my job in that I might need to wear my headphones at work, they'll be thinking, oh, it's going to be Rain Man.
Yeah. You're going to get painted with a brush of stigma.
Yeah.
Well, I just think they should declare their disability or inclusion policies up front before they ask anyone that question. But how are they going to treat the answer?
I still would, and subconscious bias is a tricky thing. Mm.
Totally. But they don't ask the question about sexual orientation or gender identity. I mean, there's a gender box, but usually just male or female. But they don't ask about sexual orientation in application forms, do they?
They don't, but the government's looking at changing that. So when it comes to gender specifically, and they're looking at changing it to things like male, female, and then it might say self-identified, and then you can describe how you want to identify, but that obviously doesn't outline how someone's sexuality is around gender, realistically.
I've seen the like male, female, self-identified. I've always found it just like some of those things like, oh, you're getting there. That's not quite right. But it's nice.
It's okay. It's better than other.
I'll tell you, yeah, it's better than other.
It's better than other box.
Well, they spit out reports with quantitative data, don't they? Because the other specified, where you type in the description of your gender, doesn't actually get counted in reports.
You can't always type things. It can't just be like people chose to specify.
Sometimes boxes.
Yeah.
Oh, sometimes it's male, female, other, and then prefer not to say. I'm going to tick prefer not to say. Yeah. That sounds like a nice one. Yeah.
That'll fuck with them.
I do really enjoy that. Like, you know, like, oh my gosh, all this gendering and boxing is hard. I'm like, yes, putting boxes in genders is terrible. Genders in boxes, it doesn't work. It's too hard. There's too many. Mm. The real secret is there is no box. It's like the Matrix and the spoon.
Yeah. It's true.
So, I mean, is it even at that degree where we will be supporting people on how to fill out application forms, key selection criteria, mm-hmm. and what they want to say.
Yeah, I think we were, before the show started, because I was discussing a bit around the issues with employment that are faced by the autistic community, which face some of the highest unemployment, underemployment rates in the disability sector, and often it's because of those invisible social barriers. So things mm-hmm. like, oh, you're asked these questions, so I'm giving you those answers exactly, or not being able to understand corporate hierarchy, or having very high tertiary qualifications, but then struggling to fit into quite socially nuanced working environments.
Yeah, yeah. Specifically with people who are on the autism spectrum, often the questions... Well, I think the entire thing from a job application through to getting a job with the job interview in between, there's so much performance expected
yes.
Outside of what is actually asked. And so it says, you know, we want someone who just has a passion, doesn't have experience, but really they want you to talk about your experience and why you're the right person for that job and why you're the easiest person for them to employ. And then you've got in the interview when they'll ask particular questions like, you know, so tell us a bit about yourself, and it's like, well, I can describe myself from head to toe, or I can tell you about which school I went to, but what do you want to hear?
Yeah.
And so it can be the support that we provide can be anything from one-on-one coaching with people before interviews up through to attending the interviews with that person. So disclosure is not mandatory. If you're on program with us, you're not expected to disclose your involvement with us to your employer. You don't have to do that. There's no legal obligation to do so. If you want to, you can. So if you want us to be in there in the interview with you, we can do that. If you want us not to show up and just be supporting from the outside, then that's available
as well.
That's
lovely. That's lovely.
Are there particular ways, so people who are wanting to support your organisation, for example, by talking to their employers and saying, oh, well, if we are looking, here'd be a great place for us to look. And if so, would that just be through contacting through your website the same as anyone who was individually looking to work with you?
I think so, yeah. It'd be the same thing. So it would go through our administration system, and then it would be referred to either myself, Matthew, or another one of our colleagues.
So it's expressions.employment.
Yep. .com.au.
.com.au. Excellent. I knew there was too many dots in there. So, well, I suppose one of the final things is tying this all back onto our overall big themes, is that a lot of the research that's come out of, as I mentioned before, in Australia and internationally shows that often bisexual plus people are very unlikely to disclose their sexuality in the workplace, but are also very likely to be facing barriers, including mental health, including homelessness or experiencing homelessness.
Or and sexual harassment in the workplace.
Experiencing that in the workplace, but also experiencing it outside the workplace or experiencing domestic violence. So do you have, how do you make sure that you're really giving people space to be around all the acronym like letters, and that you can signal to people who might not necessarily feel comfortable because of previous experiences with LGBT organisations that you are inclusive and practice active inclusion?
I suppose the short answer is we do have people on our team who do cover all letters of the acronym. So we do have people who are bi and have that experience in workplaces and throughout their lives on our team supporting people. I think something that is quite similar between disability and being LGBTQIA+, is that there is visible and invisible across both. So you might be someone who has a visible disability and people can see you and see that you have a disability. You might be visibly queer and people can look at you and see that, in the same way that someone who is bisexual may be invisible in our community, or people with mental illness or chronic pain may be invisible in the disability community. Mm. And I think it's really just sort of understanding both of those things and how that affects an individual and how they want to present in the workplace to put the best selves forward.
So coming out in the workplace is obviously a personal choice and it should be up to individuals. But do you find that in the people that you've worked with, does coming out in, for some people, a lot of their problems they're experiencing by not coming out, do have an impact? Or are there areas where even the not coming out can reflect maybe a lack of self-acceptance sometimes?
I think I can speak on my own personal experience in regards to that. So for me, as a trans woman, a lot of my work history, I wasn't out about my trans identity. And I probably didn't realise the repercussions that had on myself and I guess the shame I had attached to myself for being trans. And so it wasn't until I started working at Expression Employment that by being open and actually said I was trans in my interview, which shocked me. But It wasn't probably until I started realizing the effect that I actually had on my overall life and that I wasn't only happy in the workplace, but I was happy in life in general as opposed to, and I didn't realize how much happier I was until I was actually there. I thought I was happy before when I was closeted and going, okay, people don't need to know that I'm trans. Sorry, I'll just go to work and it's okay. And you don't kind of really realize. So I think Ruby, with that, like, it's people might not want to say it because they think that they're not going to be accepted, but it's a different thing that if they knew that they could be open about themselves. And they will, based on my experience in a kind of similar case, is that you can actually be a lot happier if people around you are supportive.
Absolutely. Do you think that, because I know we've all had experiences of being closeted in various ways, and a lot of the fear comes from, I don't know if they'll accept me, and the not knowing can be that part of the what if they don't, what if, and then...
And it eats you.
Exactly. And when you finally come out, even some of them are like, well, I don't accept this. It's like, okay, it's really good to know who I can cut out of my life now. Or it's really good to know I don't want to work here anymore.
Pretty much. Yeah. You're really kind of rude, so I don't want to work here.
Yeah. Oh, that's awful. Goodbye.
Because some people spend more of their waking life at work than they do anywhere else in the world, right?
You do.
So those things are really important, of course, that makes sense, that would impact every other part of your life if you spend most of your time doesn't feel like a safe place.
If you feel like you can't be open about yourself and you feel, you know, some kind of internal shame because you can't just express who you are, and it's not about walking around waving a trans flag or, you know, waving a bi flag. It's just
not that that stopped us, you know.
Right. We still do that.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah, it's just about being accepted by other people, which also helps you accept yourself.
And to celebrate yourself, I think.
Exactly.
Too. Yeah. Well, thank you both so much for joining us. It's been wonderful to talk to you, Rebecca and Matthew. So we'll be making sure to post up some links about how you can get in contact with Expression Employment and the Working Out program, both if you're looking for work yourself or if you think that your employer or place of employment might be able to contact them and have some news for training and their services. You can also hear the wonderful Rebecca tomorrow on the Gender Agenda.
Oh, wait, what day is it? Oh, yeah, today's Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah.
Yes.
So on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. on Joy. And also you can catch their podcast and our podcast on Spotify, iTunes, and at joy.org.au/... Is it the Gender Agenda?
The Gender Agenda, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ruby, doing the shout out for us. Yes. So lovely.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank
on
you, Anthony.
Keep up the good
Thank
work.
You for having us.
Oh, the B with the T for always, babe.
Yes, always.
And all you Bi Babes, don't forget the episode 5 of the Bi Polycast coming up next week.
That's right, podcast special. Now, stay tuned, for coming up is Homophonics. It's all queer music. It's a new show with a focus on up and coming Melbourne musicians. Today, Jordan is joined by Callum McKenzie, aka Slurmaid, one of the greatest names ever heard in my life. So stay tuned. We'll be back here next week on Tuesday at 9. This has been Triple Bypass, and you're on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.